every case, quite a reduction in traffic volumes. We did a trip distribution for site traffic. That's shown graphically on the next figure, with, of course, the sites shown north, south, and our west. Again, Route 54, Route 13. We expect a substantial amount of the traffic to go to and from Maryland. And you'll see here, 17, 17, and 10. 44% of our traffic we expect to go to and from Maryland, particularly Salisbury. But, of course, Route 13 and other routes to the north, which could lead to Laurel and back to 13. So using that trip generation, using this trip distribution, we came up with peak hour site traffic volumes. They're shown on this next graphic. AM, then the bracket for PM, and in some cases Saturday underneath. We were only asked to do Saturday by DelDOT on the Route 54 corridor. So this shows the traffic volumes, so that 17%, for example, on Route 13 is 122 additional trips in the morning, 156 in the PM, and 146 on Saturday. Now we take the existing volumes, we factor them up with the growth rates, we add those three adjacent developments, and we add our site traffic. We now get our build-out year, which is the year 2020. This is our full build traffic volumes. Again, by way of example, on Route 13, we have existing, future growth, and then in yellow, the actual site traffic, the three components. So in the morning, we're going to go from 1728 today to 2727, with just a small contribution from this site. During the PM, we'll go from 2,099 to 3,368 with 156 site. And on Saturday, from 2,911 to 4,446 with less than 150 from the site. We have another example. Again, on Old Racetrack Road, a much smaller traffic volumes, but a higher percentage now contributed from the site. 52 site trips in the morning, total 74, 67 p.m. out of a total of 92, 65 Saturday out of a total of 85.
Are any of the levels of service changing on any of these roads? Because these numbers don't mean much to us.
Yes, sir. We're going to.
Could you tell us each time that a level of service changes?
Yes, sir. We will show you levels of service right after this. Okay. The last volume comparison we'll show you is on Route 54 as it approaches Providence Church Road. Again, the three components, the three peak periods. So during the morning peak, 167 site trips out of 661, PM 205 out of 877, and Saturday 186 out of 777. Let's talk about levels of service. Again, we have stop sign control intersections, and we have traffic signals. There are different procedures and calculations in the Highway Capacity Manual for dealing with those. First, unsignalized levels of service, we have A, B, C, D, E, and F. We have a verbal description of them, and then we have a seconds average stop delay per vehicle in seconds. So, for example, if the delay is between 0 and 10 seconds, that's level of service A. If it's between 35.1 and 50, it's level of service E. And if it's over 50 seconds, the average, it's level of service F. We've color-coded them like an upside-down traffic signal, green, yellow, red. Next, we deal with traffic signals. Again, we have the same letter designations, A, B, C, D, E, and F, but the verbal descriptions and the average control delay per vehicle second ranges are different from stop signs. A is the same, 0 to 10. E goes from 55.1 to 80 seconds. F is over 80 seconds. Now we'll get to some answers. Existing peak hour levels of service are shown for the study intersections. Again, green would be good. Yellow is starting to be a caution. And of course, red would be a level of service F. We'll go back one. For existing, we are green at all of the study intersections. And you'll see the letter designations included, mostly A's and B's. The only thing that is cautionary is the signal at 13 and 54, which is where our high traffic volumes, our highest are, of course, and that's level of service D. Next, please. We're going to show 2020 full build levels of service without improvements. We have also calculated 2020 future without development, but in the interest of time, I'm not showing that one. Without improvements, we are showing level of service F at 13 and 54, which was a D. We're showing a level of service F at the intersection of 54, Horsey Church Road and Old Racetrack. That was a B. We're showing an F at the site driveway from the north and the south site. That, of course, did not exist previously. And we're showing an F where there was a B at Providence Church Road and Route 54. To deal with these changes in levels of service, we have proposed improvements. We're proposing to install a traffic signal, Route 54 and Providence Church Road. To improve and signalize this intersection, we'll change this to a level of service C. At our site driveway, we're going to construct a full movement intersection for site access and signalize the intersection. This means we're going to add left turn lanes into the site on 54 in both directions. We will add a right turn lane from 54 to go into the north site. We will have two lanes exiting the north site, one for left turns, one for movements straight across or turning right. Again, with these improvements, we go to level of service B. At the intersection of 54 and Hersey Church Road, we're proposing to install a roundabout, a single lane roundabout. We will remove Horsey Church Road from Old Racetrack Road to 54. Today, there's two intersections in close proximity to each other. We'll bring Horsey Church Road into the same roundabout that we talked about before.
So DelDOT has recommended a roundabout?
Yes, sir, they have.
Interesting.
This is a different procedure for calculating levels of service than a stop sign or a traffic signal, but the level of service here would be a C, although it's not shown there.
At 13, you can't do anything.
No, the state has recommendations, and I'll do that next if we will. The last part of my presentation, we have a DelDOT letter from 12605. I'll comment briefly on each point and our response to it, bearing in mind DelDOT has not yet responded to the reduced traffic volumes of 37% in our revised traffic impact study. Number one, the developer should improve Providence Church Road from Delaware Route 54 to Maryland State Line to meet DelDOT minor arterial standards, which were two 12-footers travel lanes and two 10-foot shoulders. DelDOT has agreed on a meeting we had on August 1st. This should have said minor collector, not arterial standards. Minor collector standards are two 11-foot lanes and two 5-foot shoulders. So we will comply within existing right-of-way with that comment. Point number two, developers should improve Providence Church Road from 54 to White Deer Road to meet DelDOT local road standards. We will comply. Point number three, improve Westline Road from Providence Church Road to Old Racetrack to meet DelDOT local road standards. We also have to coordinate with Maryland because, of course, the jurisdiction straddles the state line. We will comply. Number four, the developer should construct the intersection of 54 and South Farm Access Number 2, North Farm Access Number 1, as follows. I've already described that on the record, but we will comply with that. Five, there are a number of bicycle and pedestrian improvements that are noted. We will comply in each case with the requirements A, B, and C. Number six, the preliminary sketch plan in the appendix of the TIS depicted West Farm Access 2 and South Farm Access 1 as intersecting its two slightly offset intersections. The developer should revise the site plan to show a single four-legged intersection, which is how we analyzed it in the TIS. The developer has complied, and that's shown on the current site plan. Number seven, the preliminary sketch plan showed one access drive for North Farm on 54. They recommended that we have an access on Providence Church Road. The developer has complied, as shown on the current site plan. Number eight, requirements to be noted. The developer will enter into a traffic signal agreement at 54 Providence Church Road for ped signals, crosswalks, interconnection. Will comply. Number nine, traffic signal agreement for 54 South Farm Access, North Farm Access, that four-way, if you recall. We will comply. Number 10, Mr. Cole, yes, it was their recommendation. We proposed a signal. We did analyze also the roundabout. DelDOT's letter recommends installing a single-lane roundabout at 54 and Old Racetrack. And in concert with number 10 on 11, the developer should eliminate the short section of Horsey Church Road between Old Racetrack Road and Delaware Route 54, and then restore that area by removing any unused pavement, and we will comply. Number 12, enter into an agreement with Maryland. I don't know if DelDOT could compel that, but enter into an agreement with Maryland to replace or retime the signal controller at 54 and Bi-State. With that reduction in traffic volumes of 37%, our response here is this reduction shows this signalized intersection does not need to be replaced or retimed. Until we get DelDOT's new letter, we won't know if they've concurred with that. If they don't concur, we will comply. Number 13, enter into an agreement with DelDOT, Maryland, and Town of Del Mar, where the developer would fund an equitable portion of improvements to 54 and US 13. This again was your question, Mr. Cole. These improvements should include both the addition of a second left turn lane on 54 in the eastbound, westbound directions. We will comply. And lastly, because these improvements of 54 and 13 noted previously are not expected to fully deal with the level of service deficiencies, the developer should enter into an agreement with DelDOT, Maryland, and Del Mar, where the developer would fund an equitable portion of a project development study to further investigate improvements. So that study, I would assume, then will determine what the improvement should be.
And then you would comply, those improvements that were suggested in that study? You would
Not necessarily.
Not
what,
necessarily.
On 14, we're complying with the funding of an equitable portion of the study. On 13, an equitable portion of the left turn lanes, but we have not committed to whatever 14 ultimately produces. Fairly quickly, I hope.
When will we know about 14 with the study?
When you get the new letter back.
Get the new letter back.
The new letter will have that study. They've done that study already?
No, sir.
That's right.
No. The answer as to when we'll know what's going to happen with 14, that could be a long time.
Right.
Don't really know.
No timeline. Okay.
They have to fund the study, decide if they're going to hire a consultant, have public meetings involving two states. It'll be beyond the time frame of this project. Mr. Chairman, Mr. Rogers, that's my presentation.
He's busy having a conversation.
Thank you. Anything further?
It should be noted that at the Planning and Zoning Commission, one of the requests that was made of the applicant here is that the highway report that was given by Mr. Rogers be provided to Wicomico County for their lane study plan. One of the impacts that this particular project has is the potential to increase the population of the school district in Del Mar. And we've taken the unusual step of having Dr. Brandenberger do a school impact study. To the best of my knowledge, it's the first one of these I've seen since I started practicing law here. And it does provide an interesting view of how a development does impact school district and what the potential consequences are. And so I'll introduce Dr. Brandenberger.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Dane Andy Brandenberger. I'm recently retired from superintendency of Cape Elizabeth School District. I spent 31 of my 32 years in public education in the state of Delaware. And my doctoral studies focused specifically on planning for school facilities. Mr. Clark asked me to take a look at the project and make some estimates and do some evaluation, make some estimates with respect to what this development may mean for Del Mar School District connected to the number of kids that would be in school and also the number of children that would be likely be living in the development. I used the Delaware Population Consortium October 05 edition that's been published. That is the official agency that most state agencies use to do their estimates as far as population is concerned. It's also the agency that the Delaware Department of Education uses to make estimates. In that document, some interesting information just jumped out. And I'm sure that most of you know this, but let me repeat it anyway. In Sussex County, with respect to population trends from 1990 to 2000, there was about a 38% growth in population. The expected growth from 2000 to 2020 is expected to be almost 44% growth in population. That's roughly about 157,000 to 226,000. In that growth, the expectation is that people of age 55 years and older will be about 88% of that growth. And also, an interesting thing that jumped out was during a period of 2005 to 2015, we only expect to see about a growth of about 3,900 school-age children in the county. I think it confuses a lot of people when they see all the construction that's happening here in this county. They would jump to the conclusion that the schools are getting overcrowded and so on. The truth of the matter is it's not happening. That would be 3,200. I said 3,900. I meant 3,200 or 3,300 school-age children across the entire county.
So none of the schools are having a problem with capacity right now?
Well, that's an interesting question. Some may be having trouble with capacity, basically because
Delmar in particular,
of a reduction of class size. There's an emphasis on reducing class size, and that then causes some real concern.
Did you do any studies with Delmar in particular?
I did not look at Delmar.
You just looked at the county?
That's correct, yeah.
Well, shouldn't we be looking at Delmar? Because these kids will primarily be going to Delmar, correct?
To Delmar, right. I have some numbers with respect to that, which would, that Delmar can use, and I believe that Mr. Clark has had conversations with Dr. Ring, the superintendent at Delmar. To make some, to arrive at some conclusions, what I did was to take a look at the density per full-time residents, ages 0 through 9 across the county, and we define school ages 5 to 19. That's how the data is broken down. But you can see the density in 2005 was about 0.58 with respect to full-time residences, children in full-time residences. And at the same point in time, it was about 0.44 for school-age children, as we're defining it in residences. And you can see how that trends and over the years. It's been mentioned that the target here is 1,179 housing units. And as I understand it, the year 2008 would be the target for the first 150 houses to come online, and then roughly 150 would come online thereafter. So you can see, beginning in 2008, ages 0 to 9 would be roughly 81 children in that development, and about 66 of those would be, as we define it, school age. That would eventually yield about 637 of children 0 through 19, and 482 children of school age population. The significance here is to have the planners take a look at what kind of amenities should be developed for those children in the district or in the development. To take a look at the, to make projections, what you normally would do is take a look at historical data and essentially make two projections. Projection as if this development did not take place, and then opposite if the development does take place. So what we did is take a look back at the Delmar Elementary School and took a look at from the 96-97 school year out to the 05-06 school year, and take a look at that that enrollment. As you can see, it's fairly flat, just slightly trends down. Based on that data, we were able to use what is known as cohort survival data and make a projection with respect to what we think the enrollment's going to be out in the year 2011-2012. And our projections are showing it's trending downwards. The significance of that is that fills up the pipeline for the Delmar School District later on. Next slide. This is the sixth grade enrollment. This number was given to us by the Delmar School District for this year. That's why that's in red. That's the only reason for that.
It's
in
dropped.
Red. Next slide. Here's the history of enrollment in Delmar School District. It goes out from school year 1996 to 1997 to this school year. And the significance here is we use this data in a cohort survival to look at what we call move-up. As an example, you can see in school year 2003-2004, as an example, if you take a look at the number of 11th graders in the building, you can see the following year the number was reduced. And there's that kind of data is compiled for each one of those diagonal cells. Next slide. In doing that, you can compile a survival rate, a cohort survival, as we call it. And you can see as the data is compiled here with respect to the cohort survival. What is interesting to note in the enrollment in the school district from grade 8 to grade 9, you would typically expect to see an increase in enrollment. Historically, it's been an average of about 12 students. From grade 9 to grade 10, from 10 to, you would see typically want to, or typically see a decline of 16 to 17 per student. And so it goes through 10th to 11th grade and 11th to 12th grade. So the enrollment begins trending downwards, and this is a fairly typical, not only this school district, but most other school districts. This is an enrollment projection with cohort, using cohort survival for Blackwater Creek, without Blackwater Creek. And this is the last school year. This is this school year. And what is interesting, we projected an enrollment of 1069 in when we did this data in late July, compiled the data. As of 1:30 this afternoon, the official enrollment of Del Mar School District is at 1,070. So we missed it by one in this particular cell. At any rate, using the cohort survival, this is what we would project the enrollment to be for Del Mar School District. As you can see, it's trending downwards, and that's basically connected to the cohort survival that we've talked about. Next slide. This slide would includes the projected school-age enrollment in Blackwater Creek, and put it into the cells or to the years where that enrollment would begin, and that would begin right here. And then it would trend out, we took it out to 2012, 2013. So we would expect to see an enrollment in the schools of somewhere around 1,226 in around that number, which of course is different. And the next slide shows you the actual difference between what we projected without Blackwater Creek and what we project with Blackwater Creek. And I had focused, on that 2012, 2013. We would expect that there would be an increase of 179 students in grades 6 through 12 in the Del Mar schools. Next slide. One of the three questions we are asked is to try to make some estimation with respect to how much income, tax income, or state income would be generated with the increase in enrollment. And what we did with, as far as property taxes concerned, we had these sale price given to us. Arrived at a taxable value, and as you may know, the Delaware Department of Education does a sales to assessment ratio once a year, does that report once a year. And for the Del Mar School District, houses in Del Mar School District are assessed taxable value about 10.3% of their sales value. So using that rationale, we developed a taxable value for these homes, took an average then, and you'll see that average later on, and developed what we believe would be property tax would generate revenue. The difference here, if for a house that is valued at $350, that would be the operating revenue, and then the other three components of the tax, school tax, would take the total tax to, you can see the number there. We also made an estimate with respect to the number of units, Division I units, they're called in state government in the Department of Education, that would be generated given a certain population. And Division I pays for basically the major portion of salaries for teachers and others in a school district. And that comes directly from the state of Delaware. It is not discretionary income. But the Division I unit also generates a Division II, which is discretionary, a Division II for energy, which is a line item, but you can use it for other purposes, and Division III equalization for every Division I unit. Now, just as a basis of comparison, I think is interesting. You can see the Division III equalization generated for Del Mar School District of $20,696. That compares to Cape and Lopin at $1,196. So it is an attempt to get resources to school districts that don't have quite as a generous tax base. Using this data and then connecting that to the increase in enrollment, here's how we would expect the additional monies from the state to trail out to 2012-2013. Next slide, please. You saw this number before, 179. That would be what we would expect to see as an increase in school age enrollment in Del Mar School District out in 2012-2013. Now, during that same period of time, we would expect about somewhere in the neighborhood of 155 children living in that development to find their way into the Maryland side, the elementary schools on the Maryland side. And those children would be supported by tuition tax from the Delamore School District. So taking a look at the revenues then that would be generated given the current tax rate and given our estimate with respect to the taxable values that would be generated there, we would see this sort of tax stream coming in to support the needs of the district. And again, that would not include the Division I units, which the state of Delaware would generate on it's a fairly complex formula, but that goes directly towards salary and employment costs. Any questions?
Yeah, I got a question. You are very familiar with the impacts of growth on a school district, obviously.
Yes.
Cape Henlopen, did the numbers, your student body numbers go up or down in the last 10 years, say?
They're relatively flat. In 1997, the enrollment at Cape Henlopen School District was 4215. Mm-hmm. In 2004, it was 4216. Net growth of one person.
Senior citizens.
How about the revenue? Did that go up?
Went up about 28% during that period of time. Significant.
So, but your projection here with this development, usually, you get one development. This will set the mood for speculators to right. come in and start this as a growth area. So, you were projecting that the numbers would go down.
Without the development, yeah.
Without the development.
Correct.
Right. With the development, they're obviously going up.
Correct, yes.
Right. By 179, 180
right.
families.
This number right here, see, if you combine these two numbers, it's 334.
That's the total?
Yeah.
Because you're guessing that some of these kids will go south.
Right.
You're not sure.
Now, the net, obviously not, no. The net increase, we had shown an increase of 371 in one of the charts before. If you add these two numbers together, the net increase for the district, we believe, will be 334.
Okay, because it sounded like it was only 179, 180. It's actually 300 and some.
Yeah, these 179 will be in grades 7 through 12,
mm-hmm.
educated
right.
in Delaware.
Right.
And these 155, in this case, would be on the Maryland side, educated through tuition to Maryland.
Because when I see the growth that's happened, say, in Indian River, even now, I guess, Sussex Central, the older people are buying the homes, but it's the younger guys building the houses, mm-hmm. the families.
Right.
And the growth is unbelievable in the little leagues and where you can actually see where these kids are. So when you see those activities, they're just bursting at the seams.
Yep.
The Sunday schools are and everything else. So I find it hard to believe that the schools aren't seeing more growth. So we should now. Delmar School District hasn't looked at any of your product.
I have not presented those.
Jeff, did you?
We have not yet. Promising we will.
Before your approval or after the approval? We should know this before, don't you think, Jeff?
I think.
I'm asking Jeff. Wouldn't it be?
If they got a letter.
Jeff, when should we?
I'm going to give you a long answer to that, if I may. We met with Dr. Ring because we, prior to that, had met with the town of Delmar to see if they had any concerns about us as neighbors. Very early on, and the concerns they had in Delmar were with regard to the recreation facilities impact and with regard to school impact. Even though the town has nothing really to do directly with schools, they were concerned about it. So we went to see Dr. Ring and a couple of school board members, and they showed us around the school, and we said we'd like to know how we can calculate how many students were likely to in our communities were likely to impose on you. And they weren't sure how to help us in that regard. We went back and forth a couple of times, and it just so happened that at the time I had a business relationship with Dr. Brandenberger on another project. Picked up the phone and called him. As you heard earlier, he has considerable expertise in that area, and accepted the commission to study this. So in return, Mr. Cole, we're going to give this study back to Dr. Ring mm-hmm. as a courtesy to him, because he wouldn't otherwise know what these impacts are. This isn't a planning tool for us in the immediate future, but in 2012 or 2013, I think this.
Do you think this is the kind of information the county council, county government, who's responsible for this plan, should we know this before we make the approval, or when should we know about it? Or will we never know about it since you're not going to?
Well, we just presented it to you.
I haven't had the comments from Del Mar School District.
Can I ask
a question, Mr.
Bob, just
Gentleman?
Ask him,
you
Mr.
always cut him down.
You've already done that.
You are always cutting.
I'm not done.
You're not done yet?
Well, I was just trying to see if Lawrence sent him a letter.
The school districts and the fire companies in the town within a mile, sometimes 2 miles, all get notice.
That's correct.
Okay, there's been a study done. I think it's appropriate to submit the study.
The problem, Mr. Cole, is you're asking a school district which didn't have the information to review and approve the information that they don't have. This is the original work of Mr. Brandon or Dr. Brandenberger. They did not have the capability to determine what their own school projections were. So they could look at this.
Do you have that in writing somewhere, or is this from this conversation Mr. Clark's had with a couple school board members and somebody else? Pardon me?
Do you have some reason to believe Mr. Clark would not tell you the truth about
Do you have any problem presenting something? You're making a statement here that it sounds like you've got some facts. Can you give it to me in writing that the school, I don't know who he talked to.
I suppose we'd be
And I think,
to,
I think.
I would just assume that Dr. Brandenberger, who's
a I'll bet you Dr. Business, Brandenberger wouldn't like the fact that some other doctor, ex-employee of a school district was making certain projections on their school district without them being knowledgeable of, and I think it's something we should be knowledgeable of, and I can't imagine that that's unreasonable to ask, but twist it around and make it unreasonable.
Making it unreasonable. I'm just suggesting to you that you have an expert who knows what he's doing, and you're questioning his ability to give that opinion.
And I know I wanted
and
him
asking
to
somebody who doesn't have that ability to validate it.
Why do you not think that somebody within the Del Mar School District would not have the ability to evaluate his study? Why would you make that assumption?
You listen carefully to what Mr. Clark said. They said they didn't have the ability.
That's hearsay. You know what you say, you lawyers say? That's hearsay. Could you show me something where Del Mar School District says we can't interpret this information? We can't hear, but the school district officials can't. Is that what you're trying to say? We know enough about school business that we can interpret this report, but they can't.
If you listen to Mr. Clark, Mr. Cole, he said they did not know. How to if this development was going to impact him? Had no idea.
I just want him to present his study to the school officials. The school board ought to have. I can't imagine that's unreasonable, but that's okay. Tell me how it is. We got another one.
We need to have one person speaking at a time. Otherwise, you're not going
to
have a record.
We're glad to present the study to the school district, and I think we've already indicated what the reaction or response will be. Is unknown to both
Same
of us.
Same with us, too. I think we ought to know.
But can I make a statement just from a principal's perspective? Would you agree, Mr. Cole, though, in general, relative to other applications you've seen, that we've done a little more and tried to go above and beyond in ascertaining the impact that our development will have on the school district?
We'll give you an A. We'll get an A for
Thank
that.
Thank you.
A for that report.
I felt like it's a give an inch, take a mile type of routine.
No. Nobody asked you how to do this. I'm saying since you prevented.
We definitely will be.
Since you presented this information, school districts are very important in the planning of this county.
Agreed.
And the impacts that land use have on schools, right? And we're supposed to find this out. You presented a report. I just like to present it now to the school district that is being impacted. We haven't heard a word from them. Here's an opportunity for them to review this thing and get back to us. I don't know how that's unreasonable.
All right, we've heard what your request is.
Right.
There's nothing binding you by orders to do it, but if you want to do it.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Well, the council can request it.
Yeah, we can request it. But
that's right, Mr. Jones. If you want to be responsible in what we've just heard. Now, if you can interpret it, but the school board officials can't. I find that I'm in disbelief.
Thank you, Dr. Brandenberger.
I'm just trying to present your report. It's nothing unreasonable.
He just rubbed his lips.
Mr. Rogers.
Pro-development forces are at work here.
Ms. Cole. Go ahead, Mr. Trader.
You're overpowering me.
Cole,
go ahead. Yes,
Ms.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Mr. Clark and I would like to address just a couple last comments with you in order to, I think Mr. Clark has expressed to you already that he's met with Dr. Ring and school board members and what the results of that were. Jeff has also met with the fire department in regard to the comments that were made at planning and zoning, the town council, and I'll let him describe those and then we'll, with any luck at all, wrap this up.
Okay. Conversations with Jeff.
You know, George, they're good conversations.
I know, but they're not worth a whole lot.
Again, about the same time as this project was going to TAC, which was very early on, we also met with Jeff Kowalski, who's the head of the fire and ambulance squad there in Del Mar, and tried to learn if he had any concerns. In fact, even expressed to him at that point that if we could provide some housing for some equipment for him, we'd be glad to consider that in our planning. And as it turns out, he did not want any additional buildings. In fact, we learned later that it affects his funding to have additional houses. And Mr. Rogers may be more familiar with that than I am, but he did decline our offer, and the offer still stands if he wanted in the near term here to have some facility there. Why, there's certainly room for it in Blackwater Creek. Other than that, we did meet with, as I mentioned, we met with the town. We used Dr. Brandenberger's report as well to try and learn what kinds of impacts with the school, with school-age children we might have on recreational facilities that the town currently manages. And so we'll be working after the fact, if you will, with the town, and to have kind of a two-way street, if you will, with the recreational facilities in Blackwater and the things that they currently have. So that. I guess one other comment before I leave is we also met on two occasions with the neighbors in the community. They were hand-delivered invitations. We met with them very early on, and then just recently, just before the planning and zoning public hearings, to give them a preview, if you will, of the application. So and they were very well attended. So, thank you.
Gentlemen, there is no doubt that this is a crossroads community that is going to be developed. As you can tell by looking at the aerial photo that's to your immediate left, you can tell that it is caught in between Del Mar and Salisbury in the Providence Church Road, Jersey Road, Route 54 area, and just east or west of where development is taking place in Del Mar. The opportunity before you is to take a look at these two applications, help with a planned crossroads community. We have proposed in our findings of fact and proposed conditions that are submitted as a part of the textual material, controlled growth of 150 units per year so that this area is not inundated. As you've noticed from Dr. Brandenberger's presentation, 150 per year was the benchmark which he used for his projections. We have complied with the state strategy's spending because we are not asking the state to spend any money here. The project is being developed, and the project developer has agreed to make the highway improvements that DelDOT would ask for. We are giving you low-density housing with an average of 1.7 for the 691 acres, which is 3/10 of a unit less than the two that is permitted in one portion and four is the other unit, or units per acre, which is permitted in a GR district for the West Farm. This project provides features that are going to be preserved, including natural vegetative state, wetlands, forested buffers, riparian areas. There will be recreational amenities. And with these thoughts in mind, we will conclude our presentation to the County Council and tell you that we have all of these experts available for any further questioning that you may have by any person who did not make a presentation or by any of us who did. Thank you.
Is there anyone here other than the applicants who have been heard that wishes to be heard regarding this these three applications? Did someone put up their hand? No. Mm-hmm. Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. Commission is deferred on all three of these projects. What's your pleasure, gentlemen?
I would like to make a request, gentlemen, that we submit this report that Dr. Brandenberg had to the Del Mar School District and see if they can determine if 100 or 300 and some kids will have an impact on their school district for the future and their funding and their buildings and et cetera, et cetera. And I think that would be a very reasonable request. And Lawrence, do you have the development department up there from Dover, their report?
Yes, it's in one of the booklets.
I didn't get my. It is what I could. I have so many booklets.
Yeah,
is it in the big one?
Yeah. All right, is, could you just highlight for the record here today?
You can't hear, you got far enough from.
Yeah, I can't, I'm not gonna look through all those books.
No, too much effort.
Lawrence, could you explain to me what basically the development office, what conclusion they came to? Plus, yeah, if you could run through some of their comments.
Not going at, without going to the booklet.
Do you wanna go to the book?
We just referenced it, we didn't include it in the text.
Well, I didn't hear much about it.
Because it was part of the presentation that was presented by the applicant.
They didn't say much about it. It sounded like everything was real positive, and I'm just wondering, is there anything negative that we didn't hear today?
Oh, I'm sure that you would be able to find something in there, Mr. Cole.
Well, I'd like to hear it on the, so that somebody can listen to this later on.
What I would like to point out to you, Mr. Cole, is that it is.
He doesn't need to be up here, but Lawrence, I'm asking Lawrence.
Well, I think it would be helpful if you knew that in the book.
Why don't you read the book, Mr. Cole, and then you can check it out?
No, I would like you all
listen
to it on a tape, and there's people listening in the internet. I think it's appropriate to get it on the record.
P&Z don't reconvene.
We always do that. We always have it on the record.
All right, Mr. Cole, we've heard it. P&Z don't reconvene until the 18th, right?
What the plus is?
We don't have this opened up again. No, I'd like.
Commission doesn't meet again until the 18th.
It's on their agenda for the 18th.
Well, they meet again, but they don't have it scheduled until the 18th.
But it doesn't come back up here, Mr. Rogers.
You could leave. You could leave the record open here.
I know.
They don't even want to get a report from Delmar.
Well, if you don't leave the record open, it won't matter because you can't consider it.
I might not know. You run your mouth.
No, I'm just trying to get, I'd just like to hear something. It's a major impact on that side of the county.
Let's get a consensus. You all.
I haven't heard a word out of anybody.
Do you want to take the school board at a time?
I thought we were listening to
it. Now, my response to that, it's in the addendum booklet, and the responses from the applicant to the plus comments are included in the addendum. I'd have to have the booklet to be able to respond, or I'd have to read the thing.
My question is, the dentist
multiple
is
pages.
It is in the huge book?
Yes, sir.
It's in the big book.
I don't have to carry a whole bunch around here. Okay.
Two addendum books, the larger one.
I find it, Mr. Cole, I'll call you.
It could be weeks before we find this. Where, anybody, tell me where it is, somebody. Mr. Attorney, do you know which stop it is?
In the plus comments?
Yeah, where? Which letter?
Bear with me for 1 second. I'll be glad.
Which letter?
I need just 1 second, Mr. Cole, to turn to the table of contents.
Because we had such a rosy picture painted here by you, I'm just wondering if there's anything in this big book I might overlook.
Yeah, the front cover from the front to back.
Mom, you won't even crack it. God almighty. You won't even crack a page.
I don't have the exhibit A.
I wouldn't bet. You want to beg to my I'm willing.
Even if you cracked a page, you wouldn't understand what you were reading.
I know you won't be able to find it after today.
There it is. Exhibit P.
P? Okay.
Tab E.
P.
P.
P. In volume.
There's this little tab down here, Jordan.
I'm in this big fat book, right?
Yep, you're in the big fat book with the little tabs. Yeah.
P. Well, that big fat book only goes to L.
Are you in the volume 2, sir?
I don't know. I'm in the fat book.
What is the front of it say?
Yeah, there are two fat books.
Addendum B. Letter P.
You have A.
I got A. Here's B, addendum B. Let's see. There. Okay. Hey, P.
P is in
top. It's this right here, Jordan. You got it?
Right.
Why don't you take it home and read it and then come back and give it to
me? Yeah, you have loaded his car.
No, it's difficult to have this all dropped in your lap. I know it doesn't bother you. I know it doesn't bother you.
I understand that, George. It is.
Because your rubber stamp is drying up, I guess. But
your mind on me.
If you're in a hurry to go somewhere, just sit tight.
I could. I got all night and all day.
All right. Cool. Cause I know you got to get back to Rehoboth where you live.
No. I got to cut the grass.
You understand, don't you?
In your new big house.
That's correct. Thanks, George. I appreciate it.
You found it yet or what? I want to get a motion here.
Did you ever go home?
No.
Is there a summary?
If it ain't got pictures,
I don't know. Is there a summary like a synopsis of this anywhere?
Oh, Mr. Cole, there is not because
our
experience that if we
get a
provide the plus comments as they were textually given to us by Connie Holland's group, we then provide a point by point rebuttal, and it makes more sense to have the planners and the reviewers of these applications to be able to take a look at them in series as they were given, and there is no executive summary for plus comments.
Well, that's a good trick.
because it's easier to go to find some hot key points, and then you can go back to reflect on them. But that's okay. I'll have to sit there and go through it. Can we leave the record open? I mean, we got it. I guess with all this information.
All somebody needs to do is make a motion.
Come on.
I'll make a motion. We leave the record open to absorb this information and to gather any more that might come in, I guess.
Can we defer in the same motion?
Yes.
We got to defer also, and we'll defer on this.
Because they don't have till the 18th.
We're leaving the record open, so that means, Mr. Griffin, things can come in.
Yes.
New information, so and we can request. What I'd like to do also.
Well, you've already requested.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we leave the record open.
And defer.
I'd like to make another request after that.
What's your other request?
That we have them submit this report. Because if we don't ask them now, I don't want to hear, it's too late now. Nobody's made any decisions. We got weeks till we can get this resolved. So I think this report ought to be submitted to the Del Mar School District.
I don't think that's
Tell me where I'm wrong, somebody.
I don't think they have a problem. So
tell me how I'm wrong.
Yes,
yeah,
okay, they have no problem with that.
Fine, they should.
Put it part of the motion. Mr. Phillips.
I would like to leave the record open. I would like to have the applicant submit the school report to Del Mar School District. And I would make also part of the motion that we then defer on this application.
There's a motion on the floor. We need to complete the voting on that.
Let's go close. Do you have a closing date on the
they go kill
comments?
Estuary on one side, and this other hill.
I said, do you, Mr. Cole?
You don't know what to do.
Mr. Cole.
What? Yes,
when do you want, how long do you want to leave the record open?
I don't care. No, until we get the information in. I don't think time is of the essence on this.
Are we referring, Mr. Cole, that the record will close when we submit the Del Mar information or at a later date?
The record will be open until it gets closed.
Well, but if you leave the record open until it's closed, then the potential for opponents or other persons to come in and submit matters to the record that we can't rebut or address is possible.
Leave it open,
well, for how long?
I don't know how long it takes. This is probably.
I think it's imminently.
There's so much information.
For you to leave. I'm not saying that you
I've
can't.
I've never seen so much information dropped in our laps.
And I'm sure you appreciate the fact that we went out of our way to make sure you know everything you need to know about this project. But if you leave the record open in perpetuity,
I understand.
Then we're going to wind up getting ambushed. But on the other hand, if you want to defer for a period of time, that's your business. I just would like to see a date certain. For the closure of the record, something like 21 days or 30 days.
Agreed, because P&Z has not even acted yet.
Right.
P&Z will act on the 8th. At least the first opportunity is on the 18th.
Right. Gentlemen,
you can always leave the record open and then at a later date extend it or set a date by which it would close and give an opportunity for rebuttal.
All right, the motion is to defer on change zone 1595, 1596, 1597, Blackwater Creek Incorporated, and leave the record open, and the applicant will submit the report to Del Mar School District that they presented. Any questions? A second by?
And no date of closure?
Mr. Phillips.
Not in the motion?
Not in this motion, no, but we will make sure that occurs. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones.
We're leaving the record open for perpetuity.
No.
Even though they get the report done and that's the only thing you really want. Is that right, George?
He can bring it up when the report comes in response. We can always come back in and close. Just put it on the agenda.
We can close the record then.
Anytime you want.
We'll have our legal counsel converse with their legal counsel and we'll get a date.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, my vote is yes also. Apologize, but thank you all for coming. Motion passed. Gentlemen, any further business coming before council? If not, entertain a motion.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Thank you, Mr. Phillips, to adjourn at 15:35 hours. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.